good to be here. Praise the Lord.
Yes, thank you. What a delight to see everyone again. My, where'd the years go? And I'm just thrilled to be here. My wife is home. She's got an aortic aneurysm in the heart, and they're monitoring that. And so she stayed home for a few weeks. So keep her in your prayers. Amen. And she wanted to be here. She likes traveling too. So, but there's sometimes you gotta put other things first. Amen. Take care of yourself. And but I miss her terribly, and I'm grateful that she is okay and happy in the Lord. Amen. There is a book table in the back if you have any interest in any of the things there. There's some great Bible song CDs there for children, and some beautiful Bibles and some preaching messages on CD. And then there's some books, and everything's marked there, and that helps us, and that'll help you as well. Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of James, the book of James, chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. James chapter 4, and we're going to begin right there in verse 14. James chapter 4. And verse 14. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now, ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It is sin. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us by your Spirit today. Bless these dear folks for faithfully coming out to the house of God to worship you in spirit and in truth. Meet their need. Show yourself strong in their family and in their own lives. Oh God, I pray that we would see the power of your Spirit fall upon us. We are ready. We look forward to your coming, but until then, oh God, may we have your power to live a Spirit-filled life. And may you touch us. May we sense your presence. And may you do a mighty work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The real question of this passage of Scripture is, what is your life? What is your life? Some people spend their whole life trying to become somebody they can't become. There are some people that live their life in total selfishness. Gotta have it my way. And many people live a mediocre Christian life. I remember getting saved at age 14. I even told my father, I'll never go to Bible college and I'll never be no preacher. But God saw different. I'm glad I heard a lot of messages on the will of God, because I was seated in the field house in Springfield, Missouri at a preacher's meeting. I was 16 years old. 17, really. 17 years old. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Daniel, you've come to the Y in the road of your life. If you make a left-hand turn, you'll be miserable. If you make a right-hand turn, you'll be happy. Well, what's on the left side? I wanted to be a state trooper. New York State Police. The Lord said, you'll be miserable. If you make a right-hand turn, you'll be a preacher and you'll be happy. Boy, I'm so glad I listened to the Lord. My life has been thrilling because of God. I believe the Christian life is to be abundant life. Not a negative, complaining all the time life. And so the question is asked, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanish away. I never thought I'd get to be 64. I thought the Lord was going to come back before then. Now I'm considered an old man. Figure that one out. I was preaching in a conference recently, and I was the oldest preacher preaching in this conference. It was awful. I almost got depressed. But then I looked at two of the other speakers, and they looked much older than I, so I just said, I don't look the oldest. What is your life? Let me give you three things I want you to write down. Number one, many people's life is a wasted life. A wasted life. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Thank God he had a father. But the Bible says that he came to his father and, give me that which I've earned that belongs to me. And the father gave it to him. And the Bible says he went out and he wasted his substance on what? Riotous living. Oh, he had a lot of friends when he had money. Oh yeah, you have no problem getting friends if you got money. But once the money's gone, you may be abandoned. And certainly he was. He was a Jew. But he was slopping pigs, feeding the swine on a swine farm. He was getting down with the corn husks and getting some of the corn just to survive. And he got thinking about his father's servants. He said, my father's servants do better than I. And the Bible tells us that he repented. He said, when he went to see his father was anticipating his coming. No doubt, when a person comes to the end of themselves, from wasting their life, we better be there to pick them up. And the father ran and hugged his son. He said, I want to be your hired servant. I don't deserve to be your son. Make me thy hired servant. And he said, no, you're my son. He gave him a ring and a robe, killed the fatted calf. And there was a celebration of a man that had wasted his life that had come back home. There's a world that's wasting their lives today, isn't there? We see drugs are on the rise. Suicides are on the rise. In 2017, 47,173 people committed suicide between the ages of 10 and 34 years of age. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Right down here at the Bear Mountain Bridge, there by Peekskill, where you go over into West Point, back in January, between January and June of 2020, 7 people jumped off that bridge. Their lives were considered wasted. They had no hope. They had no comfort. They had no love. They had no joy. Probably many of them had no Savior. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You'd be shocked of the people whose lives have been wasted by alcohol and have been wasted by the pleasures of this world. And it's left them with nothing but sadness and sorrow and tears. I don't want to live a wasted life, do you? That's what Jesus is all about. Amen. He puts the abundancy in the Christian life. Amen. Not every Christian is abundant. Tonight I'm going to speak on the fire of God falling upon us. We need the power of God to fall upon us. We that are believers need that. But what about those that are wasting their lives? Somebody must reach them. Thank the Lord for an organization that tries to help people that are addicted. But everybody's a sinner. They're picking up the people that have been wasted. A person doesn't have to waste their life. So important for us to realize when we come to the end of ourselves, guess who's there? It's the Lord Jesus. And to know Him is to know life eternal. Jesus made a statement in John 10:10, the thief, that's talking about the devil. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye might have what? Life. I believe He's talking about eternal life. But then He doesn't stop there. He said, and that it might be more abundant. An abundant life is a Spirit-filled life. Amen. I want that Spirit-filled life. I want victory over temptation. I want God's power to serve Him and to honor Him and to live for Him. I want to be the best example I could possibly be to those that I know and love, that they might see the Lord Jesus in my life. Remember hearing the story about a man that was in a gospel quartet. In fact, he was part owner of that quartet. They sang all over the country and around the world. And some young lady came along and entertained him, and he left his wife and went to be with that person. They both ended up committing suicide. You say, how could that be? How could something like that happen? Without the mighty power of God, we are prey to the devil, who is a destroyer of life. I don't want to waste my life, do you? I want my life to count. I find that as I spend time in this holy book, it rubs off on me. Amen? Don't you love God's Word? My father used to stand up preaching, and he would kiss the Bible. I thought that was a little weird. But then I realized he took it with him everywhere he went. It was his life. This was his life. And he would get on his knees and he would pray because he knew he had access to God. And my father lived an abundant Christian life and raised 5 boys with mom. And 16 grandchildren came from those 5 boys and their wives. And out of 16 grandchildren, 10 are in full-time Christian service. That's a miracle. But it didn't happen by accident. It happened on purpose. Because my mom and dad said, we're going to choose Matthew 6:33 as our life verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Most people want all these things, but they certainly don't want to worship God. Oh, what an honor it is to be able to walk through the doors of a church and get together with God's people and worship. Don't let anything keep you from that. Make sure that you find yourself worshiping with the believers. Because I'm telling you, it will give you a life of purpose. And you won't stand before God one day and try to make excuses why you didn't do what you know God commanded you to do. Number two, not only do we see a life that's wasted, but secondly, I want us to notice a life of wanting. A life of wanting. Remember Job? How many of you remember Job? Job was a just man. He feared God. He hated evil. He had a wonderful family. He was very wealthy. God had blessed him. And it's interesting to me that the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. We would consider him to being the best Christian, the best lover of God than any other. And the Lord put him to the test, didn't he? And Satan said, well, I'll change his way. You've given him everything, God, and he'll love you anyway because you've given him everything. So Satan was allowed by God to take everything away from him. His wife even said, curse God and die. Retain thine integrity. Curse God and die. He didn't do it. He never charged God foolishly for the test that was sent his way. He was a man that found God to be sufficient. He found God to be all that he wanted. Is there other things that we want more than we want God? That's a good question. Some people want prestige and position and power. Some want materialism. Some want to be successful, as we understand the world's idea of success. God's not impressed with that kind of success. He said that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know what prosperity and success is? Living according to the will and purpose of Almighty God. And if you do that, you will want nothing. You will want nothing. It took me a long time as a Christian to understand that. There were times I wanted to be rich. I wanted this. I wanted that. One of the reasons I didn't want to be a preacher is I wanted to have a nice car that didn't have bald tires and the muffler leaking. I wanted to have a nice home, and I wanted to have a pool, and I wanted to have a motorcycle, and I could list all of the things that I wanted. Yeah. This is what I want. And you know what? A wanting life is an unsatisfied life. Many people say, oh, I want to have $1 million. And they spend their whole life trying to get $1 million and it doesn't happen. Some want to be a movie star, or they want to be somebody that's in the limelight or hold some big office somewhere, or be respected in the community as being the most prestigious and most wonderful person. That's all about you. That's not about the Lord. There's a little song that goes, when I learned how to lose, then I found out how to win. When we come to the place in our lives where we realize that it's not a life of wanting. Some people want to be accepted. Some want pleasure. Some want material things. Some, all they want is health and be able to be strong and mighty and powerful. The Apostle Paul asked the Lord to take away his infirmity in the flesh 3 times, and God did not take it away. Why? He said, my grace will be sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Sometimes when we are weak, then we become strong. When we can't accomplish what we think we ought to accomplish, then we find out that there's something God wants us to accomplish. Oh, it's wonderful to come to the place where you don't need anything but God. There are many things in our life that take the place of God. Sometimes it's convenience. Sometimes it's selfishness. Sometimes it's pride. But I must say to you, that's a dead end. It's a sad place when you live your life out of the will of God. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get ahead of God, and I don't want to get behind God. I want to be with God. I want Him to be right where He can minister to me on a daily basis. He can talk to me through His Word. I can talk to Him and cast all my burdens upon Him, knowing that He cares for me. And I don't have to worry about anything. The Christian life is not a life of wanting, because you've already gotten all you need. He is sufficient. If I only have the Lord, that's all I need. I'd rather have the Lord and live in a pump tent than not have the Lord and live in a mansion. Amen? My God shall supply all your needs. I'd rather just have what I need than what I want. We got too many Christians. They're always wanting this, wanting that. Give me this, God. Give me that. Some people, the only time they talk to God is when they want something. I'm guilty of it sometimes. How come you bless everybody else, but you don't bless me? Huh? Is God sufficient or is He not sufficient? Is He all we need or do we need other things? Oh, could we come to that place where we are so in love with the Lord Jesus that everything else pales to it? Yeah. I finally got my motorcycle. But it means nothing to me compared to Jesus. I got my swimming pool. This is years ago when I went, little kids. That's come and gone. It served the purpose for the kids, but I had to clean it all the time too. Glad that's gone. You see, some of the things that we think are so important. Oh, if I could just get this perfect job. The only thing that's perfect is our great God. And the closer you get to God, the more perfect your life will become. Amen. You could even give advice that God works. We must tell our children, don't live for the things of this world. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be a life that's always wanting. You know what happened with Job? He lost it all. He lost it all. Except the Lord. God allowed everything to be taken away from him. Then he had some miserable comforters stop by and encourage him. Yeah. They looked at him for 7 days. What have you done that God would bring such judgment upon you? Oh, they judged him good. Comes down to the end of the book of Job. The Lord said, I want you to forgive your friends, your miserable comforters. You know, one thing that's hard to do is to forgive people. Isn't it? He said, I'll forgive them. And he prayed. You know what God did after he forgave them, miserable comforters? He gave them twice what he had before. God always gives his best to those that leave the choices with him. Amen. Don't be a life of always wanting. Number 3. I want you to write this down. You can have a life of winning. You can have a life of winning. Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 3 quickly. In John chapter 3 is the story of the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you want to be a winner, and I think everybody wants to win. John chapter 3 verse 14, the Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Read it with me, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, God didn't condemn the world. Sinners condemned themselves. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not on the Son of is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That word condemnation is ultimate hell and judgment. But notice the word believing is what brings eternal life to the soul.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. Oh, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you want to win? You must accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yep. I remember when I got saved, my father said to me, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. I believe a person that's saved shows evidence that they're saved, right? My dad said, I don't see any salvation in you, boy. I thought, I don't see any salvation in myself. Nobody knows your heart better than you do. I got my Bible out and I led myself to Christ at age 14. Yeah. I became a winner. Amen. I received my ticket to glory. Jesus paid it all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's exclusive. There's only one way to heaven. And I'm glad it's not by what I think I can do to get there. It's by what He already did for me. Oh, I'll never forget. I bowed my head and I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. I know I am. And if my dad doesn't see any evidence that I'm saved, I'm sure I'm not. And I prayed and asked the Lord to forgive me of my sin. I said, I'm sorry for my sins. 14-year-olders can sin too, you know. The Bible says man is born of women few days and is full of trouble. And I said, Lord Jesus, the best I know how, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. And I want you to be my Savior. And guess what? He moved in. He's my Savior. Have I been perfect? No, but He is perfect. Have I been forgiven? Yes, I have. And so have you, if you're saved. How many of you with the uplifted hand can say, I know I'm saved. I remember where I was when it happened. Anyone? That's wonderful. We should never be ashamed of our salvation. Amen. If you couldn't lift your hand, you need to be saved. And Jesus wants to be your Savior. Let me tell you something. The life of a true born-again Christian is a life of winning. I can win over temptation. I can win over selfishness. I can win over pride. I can win all because Jesus paid it all. Notice, the song goes, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. I want to see winning Christians. It's rare that I ever meet someone that talks to me about the Lord. Now, I want you to hear what I'm going to tell you. My wife and I travel extensively. In 2019, we only spent 2 months at home. We were in a different church every Sunday of the year. And it's like that almost every year. Next Sunday I'll be in Canaan, New York, and then Brattleboro and Manchester, Vermont, and then I go to Orlando and meet my wife there for a couples retreat of 106 couples we'll be talking to and encouraging and helping. Then I come to New York City, and I could just go on and tell you my schedule. It's on my website. What I'm trying to say is this. I meet people constantly. And it's rare that anybody has ever given me a gospel tract or ever shared Jesus with me. A lot of Christians are not winning. They're not winning. Winning means you're reaching others for Christ. Winning means you love the Word of God. Winning means you know how to get a hold of God and get answers to prayer. Your life is thrilling because it's all wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. All of us know that our lives could be better than they are as Christians. It means we must surrender. What's going to happen to our churches if they close them? What's going to happen to our churches if nobody wants to come anymore? This pandemic has taken about 25% of the people that were in the churches before COVID. Now they're no longer there. What's God doing? God is purging His church to prepare that church for suffering. Do you think we can live our life without suffering? Jesus said, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." In fact, Jesus made a statement that some people are going to persecute you that are saved, and they're thinking they're doing God a service. Remember Paul, or Saul the apostle, or rather Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee? He was going around hauling people out of churches and even killing some of them. And he thought he was doing God's work. Are we going to stand the test of time if persecution comes before He takes us out? Are we going to be in church unless providentially hindered? Are we going to stay true to the Word of God and keep the gospel flowing? If we don't hide God's Word in our heart, we'll never give God's Word out to anyone. And I want us to be a winning group of people, don't you? I'd like to see the Lord send revival. Tonight I'm going to talk about the fire of God falling. And I believe God wants to send His power upon this church and upon every one of you, that you might experience winning. I want you to think about this. The Christian life ought to be a winning life, not a losing life. God's great, amen? And we love Him. And we want to serve Him. And oh, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, please, I beg you, Jesus would beg you to be saved. So, to wrap it all up, lives are either being wasted, or they're wanting everything but God, or they're winning. Where are you this morning? Let's bow together in prayer. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you really honestly know that you are saved? That you've trusted Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand? Many of you, that's so wonderful. It's wonderful. Do you remember where you were when it happened? I'll never forget the rocking chair on Round Lake in Sonora, New York. I drove by there the other day. That's where I got saved, right there. And I'm so thankful. If you don't know you're saved, would you raise your hand and say, "I'd like to be saved"? If you know you're not saved, but you don't want to miss heaven, and you want to make sure you're winning, would you raise your hand? "I want to be saved." Is there anyone like that today? Are we all saved? I hope so. If not, please let us know so that we can show you from the Bible. You can leave here knowing that you're saved. By faith in Jesus Christ, just like I did, just like many others have done, and many others will, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. How many of you would like to serve the Lord a little closer, a little better? You'd like to be a greater winner in your Christian life. Would you raise your hand? Amen. All that we might win. Our Heavenly Father, oh God, many people here, all of us have been through a lot of unbelievable circumstances in our life, whether it be sickness or the sorrow of loved ones gone. But Lord, You've given to us an abundant life through Jesus Christ. Help us to be winning Christians. May every day we find the truth of Your Word to just touch our hearts. And may we realize how fortunate we are to read Your Word and to pray and to share our faith. Oh God, I pray that You would send revival to Dover First Baptist Church. I'm talking about everybody that's in here. And everybody that may be watching that is not able to come, and those that could come, I pray that you draw them back. Oh God, we want to be winning. We want to be right where we're supposed to be when you come for us. Make us winners by your mighty power and by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together for just a moment. I would like every one of us here to, I want you to make a decision this morning. I don't want you to take this message and just go with it, but it not go with you. Let's not waste our lives. Let's not always be seeking what we want instead of what God wants. And may all of us be winning, having victory, the abundant life. I would like us to bow our heads for a moment. I'd like you to play a song as she plays. If you're not saved, please let us know and we'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. We want you to know Jesus personally. If you've not been having victory in your life as a Christian, you know you're saved. You remember where you were when you got saved. But you say, you know, I've been under the circumstances. I've been defeated. I've been discouraged. I've almost quit. Would you pray right now and say, oh God, I want to leave here different. I want to win for a change. I'm tired of losing. I don't want to waste my life, Lord. Pray and ask the Lord Jesus to fill you with His power, that you might be strong even though you may feel weak, that you might be victorious instead of defeated. Oh God, do a mighty work in this church, we pray. Send a revival this week. Oh, may folks be drawn here so that they can win. Oh, there's such a peace and joy that comes in winning. Because we're in a battle. And the devil's is attacking us, attacking our church, attacking our children, our grandchildren. Oh God, may Satan be defeated. And may we that call ourselves Christians be winning. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor, would you come?
Thank you very much for that message, Brother Dan. Just one thing I might add is, we're all here saved. It would be nice if the rapture happened today. But think of those who would be left behind. Think of those that would be left behind and go get them and ask them to come. Send them a message, a text. It doesn't take a whole lot. There's still time to mail a flyer. Say, I'd love you to come hear our evangelists. People need to be saved.
Yes.
One thing that sparks revival, we preached on it, is Christians got to get right with God. Because if that doesn't happen, we won't have revival. But number two, we need to see people get saved. Yes. Folks walking the aisle, surrendering their life, brings revival to the hearts of others. You want to go out and get one. And there's plenty of them out there to get. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those that I know that have done this, and you've done it for many years, you've gone and you've asked, don't get discouraged. God is still dealing with those people.
Amen.
And it may not be this church. It may be some other church they go to. But praise God that they get to a church and they get saved. We're going to close with Just As I Am. And we'll just do the first hymn and we'll be dismissed. 387.
Just as I am.